pews, man, that ain't easy. Nope. I think my son Brooks just drilled his face in the pew as we were walking in like 2 minutes ago. I don't even know how kids do some of the things that they do, but they do it. Yet again, I thought that was funny. I wanted to share it with you. I don't think our sense of humor is really lined up just yet, but they will. Just give me some time. I'll work on you. You're going to get there. Truth is, you're going to help me get there. That's the reality of the matter. We're here to worship God. And I want to make sure that you know that it's a good thing to smile. It's a good thing to laugh. It's a good thing to enjoy to be in the presence of God's people. It's also a good thing to reflect. In just a few moments, we're going to reflect on our year. And I hope personally you reflect on who you have been, asking yourself the question, who am I? Before we do that, though, I'm going to ask that God would bless us. And if you would, bow your heads and hearts, and we'll pray to Him together. Holy God, we pray that we honor You and that we express our love to You. We recognize, Father, how indebted we are to what You've done for us through Jesus and through Your Spirit. Father, we pray that we give You our lives in return. As servants, that we sacrifice. As children, that we care and love and respect You. And as Christians in this world, that we truly are the light of the world. And Father, in any way that we fail You or come up short, we pray for Your forgiveness. We know it's by Your grace and Jesus' blood that we're forgiven. And because of that, we say thank You. And in this time, Lord, we pray that You'll guide us. We'll let You guide us. And we'll see Your guidance clearly taking us to where You want us to be. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Who am I? Last year when I turned 30, Brianne surprised me with a giant party after Sunday evening worship. The entire congregation dressed up in black. And it took me just a minute to figure it out. You know, I saw like 20 straight people come in black shirt and black pants. And I was like, what is going on here? Oh, wait, I'm 30. Smart move there, sweetheart. Turning 30, though, wasn't that big of a deal. It was 31 that got me. This year when I turned 31, I was like, oh, no. You see, I'm not just 30. I'm in my 30s. And that one got to me for several reasons. But it also caused me to start thinking introspectively and really to start thinking backwards as to who I was, who I've been, and who I am. It got me thinking about what the 20s were like, and they were wild. I remember turning 20 thinking I had it all figured out. 21, getting married, like, oh yeah, I got this. And then I turned 31, I'm like, nope, don't got a thing. Just got a bunch of bills, kids, and a runny nose. That's what I feel like now. So I was thinking backwards about who I was, who I've been, and who I am today. Now, as far as this sermon is going to apply to you, I want you to ask yourself the question continually, who am I? And we're going to look in one text, Mark 2, 1 through 12. And Bruce read that so well. I appreciate Bruce for reading that. And I appreciate you standing up through all of that. But asking yourself the question, who am I? We're going to see four groups of people, and we're going to have to challenge ourselves to see, am I like them or not? Group number one, in Mark chapter 2, I hope you're there. I hope you're not taking my word for it, but rather taking God's word for it. In Mark chapter 2, I'm not going to go through the entirety of the text again, but I want us to see the first group of people as you read about it, starting in verse 2. And so many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door, so standing room only. And he, Jesus, was preaching the word to them. And they came. There's a group of people here. They came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Several groups of people have been introduced, but I want to show you, number one, the paralyzed man. I'm going to call him the helpless one. He's helpless. Asking myself the question, am I helpless? This paralyzed man had no way to get to Jesus. And in that time and in that place, if you were brought to Jesus, you could find healing from your physical infirmities. The paralyzed man, the woman with internal bleeding issues, different people who were lame or mute or deaf or blind, they all found healing in Jesus. And so to get to Jesus meant healing, but this guy was helpless. He couldn't do it. He was on his own. Am I helpless? Well, in one sense of the word, no. No, I'm not helpless. Most of us in here are not helpless. And that we have all our physical abilities and we have a semblance of health that allows us to live and move and have our independence. Now, some of us don't have that blessing, and I acknowledge that. But in another sense of the word, I am absolutely helpless. I can't be saved on my own. I can't find the righteousness of my Lord on my own. I'm not good enough on my own. Romans 3, verses 9 through 20. No one understands. No one seeks. And goes on and lists the helplessness of humanity. Because we've all fallen short of the glory of God because of our sin. I am helpless. We may be more like the paralytic than we realize spiritually. Helpless without Christ. Group number two. Healer. Do you acknowledge and do you see who they brought him to? When they, the group of men, brought this paralyzed individual to the house, they were bringing him to a certain person for a certain purpose. They came to him out from a different location. They got to that location where Jesus was, and there wasn't even room in the door, so they took him up on the roof. And eventually, to tell you the entirety of the story, they removed some of the patchwork of the roof, and they lowered him down. And I can't even imagine what that scene was like. You know, as Jesus is having a conversation with a bunch of people, and all of a sudden, a human being is being lowered from the ceiling. What? That's got to be a crazy scene, at least it is in my mind. And so Jesus is there as the healer. And there's a couple of pieces of significant information that I want to draw your attention to. What did Jesus heal first? Did he heal the sickness or the sin first? Interestingly enough, he healed the sin. Jesus is healer. And so in asking myself the question, who am I? I am definitely not the healer. Austin, as the preacher, cannot heal. Our elders, as shepherds, cannot heal. You as an individual cannot heal anybody else. But we bring people in the sickness of sin to the healer, Jesus. I find it so significant that he healed the sin before the sickness. It's easy for us to think, majority of the time, about what sickness people have in the flesh. Diseases, illnesses, broken bones, etc., etc. But the reality of the matter is, there is a sickness far more serious than any disease, any brokenness that people might face. Sin. It's easy to pray for people in their physical infirmities, but it's hard to be individuals who are bringing those sin-sick souls to the healer, the one who, the only one who has the source of all healing, Jesus. I'm not the healer. You're not the healer, but you know the one who is. And so we come to the third group of people, and those are the helpers. You see, this group of people, they are the men who brought the paralyzed individual to Jesus. And in verses 3 through 5, there are a couple descriptions about them I want to acknowledge, I want to show from the text. And they came, those men, bringing the paralyzed man to Jesus. Verse 4, and when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and when they made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic man lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. And so what do we find that group of men doing as the helpers? Because I got to ask the question, who am I? Am I the helper? Well, first off, I've got to believe that they had a thought to bring the paralyzed man to Jesus. There was thought that went into these actions. And it wasn't just a thought, because someone's thoughts won't get the paralyzed man to go to Jesus. And so not only did they think about him, but they convinced him to come to Jesus. And therefore, Paul says, we persuade others knowing the fear of the Lord. Paul says at times we must convince people to find healing in Jesus Christ. And so they thought about the paralyzed man. They convinced the paralyzed man. They carried out a plan of action for the paralyzed man. Now, who am I? Am I somebody who thinks about sin-sick souls? Am I somebody who is trying to convince sin-sick souls? Am I somebody who's trying to carry out a plan for the healing of the sin-sick soul? Maybe, maybe not. If not, repent today. But you know what else I find interesting about these individuals? Verse 4. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they quit. No, of course not. Of course not. What I see these individuals doing is when plan A didn't work out, they reassessed and they adjusted what their plans were and they continued working. Do you see that plan B is harder than plan A? Wouldn't it have been so much more easy for them to just walk through the door carrying the paralyzed man, just to go through the door and put him on the ground? But rather, they had to get up on the roof somehow. They had to carry him up on the roof somehow. They had to remove the roof somehow. They had to find a rope. I don't know about you, but I don't walk around carrying some 10-foot rope. Anybody else? Well, Clanton Poole might. I've seen his work truck. But other than that, not many people are carrying around enormous ropes. And so they had to reassess, readjust, and find the tools to help the sick individual find healing. So who am I? Am I the type of person that when I'm helping out a sin-sick soul, if plan A doesn't work, I stop, I reassess, I adjust what I'm doing, and I go then find the necessary tools for that sin-sick person to find healing? Or do I quit? What do we let stop us from leading sick people to the healer? Do we let the crowd? Nah, too many people. I can't do it. Do we let the challenge? How are we going to get this person up on the roof? Boy, that's hard. What do we let hinder us from being a helper for a sin-sick soul to find healing? I truly believe it might take four people to carry one. I truly believe that if I let go of my corner, and by the way, I don't always have to carry the entire individual on my own. As we seek out sin-sick souls, for Jesus said, I came not for to call the righteous but the sinners, the last verse in verse 12. I don't have to do it alone. It takes four to carry one. But if I drop my corner, it might be the case that that person may fall. And so everybody's important as we seek out sin-sick souls to come and find healing from the healer. Everybody's important in the Lord's church. Your role is vitally important for the salvation and for the healing of somebody who's desperately in need of it. Do you realize how significant you are to Jesus? Do you realize how significant you are to a sin-sick soul who's dying and in need of help? You are vitally important and absolutely necessary in the ministry of our Lord in this world. We must be helpers and recognize the significance of the corner that we hold, leading someone to healing that they need. That's the good part. I hope we are not hinderers. In the text, there's another group of people. And the Bible describes them as saying, or as verse 6, questioning in their hearts. And then they make the statement in verse 7, why does this man speak like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Now, these individuals probably had great intentions. There's a great chance they thought they were doing what was right. But the reality of the matter is, they were hindering Jesus' healing. I hadn't thought about this till just this very moment. There might be some of us who have good intentions, who might think we're doing something right, but when it comes down to it, we're hindering. This group needed to look inwardly and ask the question, who am I? Am I hindering or am I helping? Am I leading someone to healing or am I hindering that healing from happening? I know my intentions might be right. I hope my heart is in the right place. But maybe I need to look introspectively and figure out what I really am, who I really am. This group of people no doubt needed to do that. You might need help. Find a close friend, a family member. Maybe talk to one of our shepherds. They're called shepherds to help sheep for a reason. Come talk to me about it. I would love to have a conversation about your life and figure out who you are. Am I hindering? Am I helping? I'm not the healer, but I know the one who is. And so am I helping helpless souls come to Jesus for their salvation? Who am I? Only you know that answer. Only you stand before God. And as you look retroactively backwards to this year, you might be thinking a lot of thoughts about your job, about your home. Goodness gracious, me and my family, we've moved, we've bought a house, we've done so many things, we've faced every sickness imaginable, it seems like, in the last 6 weeks. There's been a lot of things that take place, but who have I been to help sin-sick souls find healing in Jesus? And I hope you're asking yourself that question today. And if you need to make a change in some way, the Bible says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set us free in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. If you need to be set free from who you've been, and you need to start becoming who God wants you to be, change today and let God heal you. We want to help you. We are a spiritual family of faith, encouraging righteousness and faith and life in Jesus for Jesus to the glory of God the Father. And if you want to get on board with us, walk step by step with us, following after the Savior, come. Leave the world behind. Be united in Christ by the grace of God and the blood of Jesus. If we can help you do that, we'd love to. Stand and sing together.
What will you do with Jesus? The way.